compete in the AFC North, you have to be willing to bloody your nose a little bit. This team is going to be built on toughness.
We're going to go out and get better every day.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, begins now.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford here in the luxurious Mike Pettine Coaches Show studios. Coach, how are you?
I'm well.
How did the time off? It was not necessarily the bye week, but you had more time this week. How did that help you, and what were your biggest takeaways from maybe the self-scouting you did of the Browns?
Well, first of all, I think it helped us all get caught up a little bit with our sleep. That's something that we emphasize, we always talk about, and I think we end up saying it and not necessarily doing it. So I encouraged not just the players but the coaches to go ahead and get caught up and get the bodies, get a little bit recharged and refocused, re-energized, whatever word you want to use. So that was part of it. The other part was just, looking back over the games that we've played and understanding the why. And I think that's important to understand that there are some games we let get away. There are some things that were outside of our control. There are some areas where we need to improve. And it was a lot of little things. It was stuff that we addressed first as a staff, and then secondly with the team. And it's it's important to always understand the why, but also maintain an even keel and not overreact just purely based on results. That nobody was going to panic and let's just blow everything up and start fresh and try to do different things. That we know that in a lot of aspects we're close. We need to get some things cleaned up.
Well, the final score wasn't where you wanted against Cincinnati. The fact was, starting the fourth quarter, it was a 17-10 game, a one-possession game. So you were in that game. What are some of the positives you took out of that Bengals game?
Well, I thought that's a high-powered offense. I thought we did a good job through three quarters, holding them down. Where we fell short is we didn't play very good complementary football. That defensively, we ended up having to be out there for too long. Especially in the third quarter, when you don't generate a first down and you have very little offense and the D is right back out there and you're giving that type of team with that firepower that many opportunities, it's going to catch up to you, and it certainly did to us in the fourth quarter. So it's that's one thing we have to have a good understanding of being complementary, that making sure that the offense knows when hey defense is dragging a little bit, that we got to do everything we can to make sure we at least start to move the ball a little bit and eat some time if we're not going to score points.
With Johnny Manziel, obviously you go back, you watch the tape, you saw some of the things you had alluded to at that halftime interview. Missed reads, missed opportunities from the pocket. Now, he still made some plays, but not necessarily on the NFL schedule. If he doesn't start, where he would get live game reps, are there opportunities in practice for him to work on those kind of mistakes and try to correct those things, or is that something that really can only happen in games?
You can get it in practice. I mean, certainly not it would have the effect of being a live game read, but it's still, when you're running plays in practice, you're still going through all those mental and the physical gymnastics of, hey, I got to read the weak safety here and know that I got to put the ball here and it's got to be on time and it's going to be on my fifth step. I mean, all those things, those details that get coached hard. And even if it's a scout team rep, that I think our coaches do a good job of equating a scout team play to something that's similar that's in our playbook, so they can go ahead and, even though it's a rep that's for service for the defense, it still is beneficial to the guys on offense running it.
Well, even the most ardent Johnny supporters would say he's still clearly a work in progress. Comparing his tape against Cincinnati this year to last year, was it a clear sign of progress in your opinion?
Especially in the first half. I don't think we played well enough around him the second half or for any quarterback to have looked good. I mean, we didn't run the ball well. We didn't, couldn't generate a first down. Dropped some balls, which I think has been very uncharacteristic of our receiving corps this year. That I know that our drop rate had been very low up until this game. So, that's a frustrating part that it's hard to evaluate the quarterback when as I've said all along, you got to play well around them.
Let's turn our attention to the Steelers. They have a little bit of a quarterback issue as well. It looks like Landry Jones, but they left the door ajar for Ben Roethlisberger. How does that impact your preparation during the week?
It doesn't, because I don't know how significantly different the offense would be. I think they'll do a lot of the same things. It's just dealing with Ben is future, more than likely a future Hall of Famer, dealing with that type of extend the play ability. Get out of the pocket some that he's been known for over the years, but Landry Jones is an NFL quarterback that if the pocket's clean for him, he's got a slew of playmakers he can get the ball to. So we have to do a good job of making sure we affect him and more than likely try to get the game in his hands than let it be decided by a D'Angelo Williams or an Antonio Brown.
You talk about D'Angelo Williams, ran for 170 yards last week. The last guy to do that at his age was Walter Payton. He's been very effective with Le'Veon Bell out. Is that something going to be a huge emphasis in this game?
It is, and anytime you're going into Pittsburgh week, that's got to be a priority. That we need to force them to be one-dimensional. Like I said, if we can get the ball where we force it to, for the quarterback to have to win it, then we feel like we have a chance. But if we're losing on early downs and the third downs aren't that long, that's going to make it very difficult to get off the field.
How much more difficult is it to focus so much attention on Antonio Brown? We know had a historic game last week with Martavis Bryant. When you coached against him last year, he hadn't really been incorporated into that offense yet. So how much does that change things?
No, I think this receiving group is as deep a group as we've gone against, and I think that's one of the things that allows Antonio Brown to, coaches are smart enough to realize that, okay, listen, we can't just focus on him, but they do a good job. They move him around and they get the ball to him in a variety of ways, sometimes down the field, at all levels of the defense, whether it's deep down the field, intermediate, short, behind the line of scrimmage. That it's very smart from a schematic standpoint, that it's a simple, hey, you got a guy that can make plays, get him the ball.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. We'll come back with you when we return. We'll also have the PNC Bank Film Breakdown with Johnny Manziel and, of course, hashtag AskPet. And the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford, returns on News Channel 5.
The Mike Pettine Interview, brought to you by Elk and Elk.